Chapter 17. My Dear Boy. It was a large, bare room, sparsely furnished in cheap French Art Nouveau style. It was difficult to say whether it was intended as a living or dining room for a flimsy-looking mirrored sideboard, sporting an orange crackleware fruit dish, and two painted wooden candlesticks took up most of the wall opposite the door and contradicted the faded pink sofa ranged against the other side of the room. There was no table in the centre, under the alabasterine ceiling light, only a small square of stained carpet with a futurist design in contrasting browns. Over by the window was an incongruous-looking throne-like chair in carved oak, with a red velvet seat, a low table on which stood an empty water carafe and two glasses, and a light armchair with a round cane seat and no cushion. Half-closed Venetian blinds obscured the view from the window, but cast bars of early sunlight over the few pieces of furniture, and over part of the brightly papered wall and the brown-stained floorboards. Le Chiffre pointed at the cane chair.
"That will do excellently," he said to the thin man. "Prepare him quickly. If he resists, damage him only a little."
He turned to Bond. There was no expression on his large face, and his round eyes were uninterested.
"Take off your clothes. For every effort to resist, Basil will break one of your fingers. We are serious people, and your good health is of no interest to us. Whether you live or die depends on the outcome of the talk we are about to have."
He made a gesture towards the thin man and left the room. The thin man's first action was a curious one. He opened the clasp knife he had used on the hood of Bond's car, took the small armchair, and with a swift motion he cut out its cane seat. Then he came back to Bond, sticking the still open knife, like a fountain pen, in the vest pocket of his coat. He turned Bond round to the light and unwound the flex from his wrists. Then he stood quickly aside, and the knife was back in his right hand.
"Vite!"
Bond stood chafing his swollen wrists and debating with himself how much time he could waste by resisting. He only delayed an instant. With a swift step and a downward sweep of his free hand, the thin man seized the collar of his dinner jacket and dragged it down, pinning Bond's arms back. Bond made the traditional counter to this old policeman's hold by dropping down on one knee, but as he dropped, the thin man dropped with him and at the same time brought his knife round and down behind Bond's back. Bond felt the back of the blade pass down his spine. There was the hiss of a sharp knife through cloth, and his arms were suddenly free as the two halves of his coat fell forward. He cursed and stood up. The thin man was back in his previous position, his knife again at the ready in his relaxed hand. Bond let the two halves of his dinner jacket fall off his arms onto the floor.
"Allez,"
said the thin man with a faint trace of impatience. Bond looked him in the eye and then slowly started to take off his shirt. Le Chiffre came quietly back into the room. He carried a pot of what smelt like coffee. He put it on the small table near the window. He also placed beside it on the table two other homely objects, a 3-foot-long carpet beater in twisted cane, and a carving knife.